Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Talking Points podcast. I'm still James Skoltok, the IMI's Motor Pro magazine editor, but joining me today we have Linda Jackson, who is Peugeot CEO, IMI Vice President, and as part of the IMI's Diversity Task Force, Chair of the Gender and Sexual Orientation Working Group. Today, we're talking about the challenges facing the automotive industry, including closing the skills gap, challenging perceptions about the sector, and opening up the industry to everyone. And of course, a little bit about Linda Jackson's own path into an automotive career. So, with so much to talk about, let's get going. Hi Linda, thanks for joining us. Everyone will probably know you from your role at Stellantis Group as CEO of Peugeot, but you're also involved with the IMI as Vice President. So I wondered if you could give me a little bit of background to your work with the IMI.
Yeah, I mean, it's really rewarding, to be honest with you. And I'm particularly, in the past couple of years, I've been working with the IMI in a working group to look at diversity. And obviously, that's a very, very important part of the work that we're doing. And obviously, that's something that we're trying to promote. I actually led the working group on gender, but also we had two others, which were about ethnicity and disability. Very important. And the basis of all of this is leading a group of people across very, very, very diverse backgrounds, all involved in the automotive business, leading them to come up with what could we do to, A, obviously, embrace all types of diversity, but also to attract more people into the industry. So it's been absolutely fascinating. And to be honest with you, I've met some really interesting people that have got some great experiences. And it really opens your eyes sometimes. I've learned an enormous amount. And now we need to actually make it happen.
Yes, of course. Well, I'm sure there's all sorts of stories and information came out of the IMI's Diversity Task Force and the report. But as a bit of background as well, I guess, to why that came about is because of the shift in the industry and how much it's actually changing at the moment.
Oh, it's unbelievable. You know, I've been in this business a long time, probably around about 40 years. And I would say that what's happening in the industry now and in the next 5 years is far more than has happened in the past 20. You know, and I'm not just talking about electrification, which everybody talks about, but it's also about, you know, autonomous technology, but it's also about all of the digitalization and the way that we're all moving to want to do things online, buying cars online or software or whatever it may be. And it's amazing how much people don't realize that now. You know, they think a car is just about a mechanical object, but in fact, it's a mechanical object, plus it being a software object. So it's a very, very exciting, which obviously means there's, you know, loads and loads of new opportunities for people that can really have an exciting time, you know, in the automotive industry. So it really is perhaps, I think, the most interesting and extraordinary times for the automotive industry.
Yeah, because as you mentioned, you know, the introduction of electrification, autonomous technology, the changing sales models, they're just some of the examples of the stuff that's going on. But that's opening the doors, isn't it, to non-traditional roles that we've previously had in automotive and new opportunities for people.
But the dilemma of all of that is that, in fact, you know, the industry itself is seeing a shortfall in job applications. It's bizarre, but it's strange, but that's where it is. So, you know, you know, the motor trade now, I was reading, has the second highest industry vacancy rate.
Yeah, and that's partly down to how automotive is perceived. Because although, like we've said, you know, it's an exciting time for the industry, but the perception from the outside world and those thinking about, well, what career path should I take? Automotive isn't always up there, even though it has so much to offer.
Well, it is strange, but I guess it's all about perceptions. And perhaps it was true in the past, but it certainly isn't true now, as I say, with all of the new skills that we need. So probably people still think that it's a bit of a boring, dirty job, but and it's a man's world. I mean, that's the other thing. That's why we created all of the different diversity working groups. But what we need to do is change those negative perceptions of the industry and really explain to people that this is a very, very exciting industry with lots and lots of opportunities. But we do need to encourage more females. You know, I've done, a lot of work, and obviously there aren't many women in the higher levels of the automotive industry. But, you know, I was shocked when I saw a statistic that said only 19% of the automotive workforce is female. Only 19. And let me tell you, 50% of my customers are females. So we desperately need to match the environment and the social demographics with within our industry, with actually who we're selling to or who we are servicing their cars, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, well, it's a sad statistic. Like you say, only 19% of the workforce are female, and you're part of that, that 19%. So from your perspective anyway, what do you think, in terms of gender anyway, what do you think are the hurdles that automotive faces to increase that particular area?
Well, I think, first of all, it is about changing perceptions. And that's one of the reasons that the IMI is part of the whole study, that we're launching a campaign, which is about changing perceptions. A, of what types of work people do and the ever-changing technologies, but also the type of people that are already in the industry and, you know, giving real-life examples of people working in the workshop, but also people working in digitalization, perhaps, or customer experiences, as well as, obviously, you know, straight in the dealerships. But, I mean, there are many wide things. So I think, I honestly think the first thing we need to do is we can encourage people, but we need to really explain what opportunities there are. And I think, you know, we really should look at, in terms of all of those misconceptions, and explain them. As we move forward, and as I say, with all of the things that are happening, we are in desperate need over the next 10 years of, you know, something like 103,000 electric vehicle technicians, because we all know that the market and our customers are now buying electric vehicles, and we're all going to have those cars serviced and looked after. And that's, you know, 103,000 EV technicians. And at the same time, we have about just over another 111,000 other roles within the automotive. So you see the scale of what we want to get and encourage people to move into this industry.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess it's about bringing a range of people in, isn't it? It's not just about youngsters coming in and encouraging them to be excited about automotive and following a career path. It's also about other people as well.
Yeah, I mean, of course, we want younger people to come into the organisation, but we really want to attract those sort of mid-career changes, you know. I was reading a statistic that says that September is the ideal time. People come off their holidays and they think, okay, maybe I'm going to change. I'm not enjoying what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a look. Well, we want them to have a look at the automotive industry. But it's true. It's not just about the young people. It's about, you know, if you want to make a career change, but you've got all of that wealth of experience across other types of industry, then we want to bring that, all of those skills, into the automotive industry.
Yeah. And there is, the statistics are out there, aren't there, about people sort of post-pandemic, I guess, that are looking at their careers and where they want to go. Also, the other issues surrounding cost of living and trying to earn more money to counter the stresses that puts on people. There are people out there who want to change careers and are looking for new options, but it comes back again, and we've said it countless times already, it's the perception of the industry, isn't it, to attract those people.
It's exactly that, and you're absolutely right. There are people out there after COVID thinking about, you know, I also want to look at not only the cost of living increase, but I also want to have my own well-being, and I think we're all trying to find that. And, you know, I think there was... Yeah. You know, 63% of people are changing jobs, said they would move to a different sector. So please think about that different sector being the automotive industry. And, you know, I think that is very important, that A, changing jobs, but also we really do want to make sure that we can attract some of those disillusioned workers who were, you know, beginning this, what did I hear it called? It was called the quiet quitting movement, I think, which is a lovely label for what it is. But we really want them to have a think about that and say, hold on a minute. You know, if you've got dissatisfaction with where you currently are employed, and that's absolutely true, we see across all industries that there is this sort of plummeting job satisfaction. In the UK, I think it's something like only 8% of employees are actively engaged. That means they need to change. Well, have a think about the automotive industry, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess part of this also, you know, if we're looking about the new roles that are coming into automotive, we need to bring in people that are able to fill those roles and bring in skills from who now work in other industries, don't we? And then bring them into automotive. So automotive has a stronger skills base and is ready for whatever the future holds as well.
Yeah, you're right. Because to be honest with you, as it's like any industry, but it's, you know, very, very true for the automotive one. Everybody needs new ideas. The world is changing so quickly. Yeah. We need to be very agile. But we need new ideas, new ways of doing things. We can't always rely on the way that we've done them in the past because the world has changed. People are changing. Customers are changing. Yeah. So it's very important to bring people in that have got a wider experience that can maybe have worked in service industries, for example, or whatever it may be, to think, okay, I'm going to come in. I've got a new idea. Well, why not? And I think you're absolutely right. It's how do we attract, you know, the brightest and the best talent into this sector, which, of course, is a sector that is, has a really bright future with so many exciting things that are happening.
Yeah. Now I'm going to put you on the spot, though, because, as I said, you're not only CEO of Peugeot, if that's not a big enough job to do, but you're also involved with the IMI as well. So in terms of your IMI role, how are you going to address it? How are you going to start trying to bring those people in and try and spread the message that automotive could be the career path for you and try and disperse some of those misconceptions?
Well, it's all about, as we said, it's about changing the perception. So the one thing that, the first thing, if you like, that we are going to do, and we are actually working on that, and it'll be happening very, very shortly, is to try and help plug the skills gap with a very, very bold new advertising campaign. And its aim is simple. It's to change the negative perceptions of the automotive industry. You know, we want to, if you like, to make an impact by tackling those public's misconceptions head on under the banner of, and we have a tagline, if you like, there's more to motor. And we really do. There is more to motor, and we need to make people aware of it. So we're going to be launching that on the 6th of September. And as we go back to what you were just saying, we want to target that, to be honest with you, on those mid-career changers who have transferable skills. And that's really, you know, who might be looking for a change, and hopefully we can attract them into having a look at the automotive industry. And now, I have to be honest with you, James, I'm a very direct person. So this is a campaign that is straight talking. We want to, of course, hope to inspire younger people, but we definitely want to attract those mid-career ones. But let's be quite honest, we want to attract them into understanding that it's... you know, it's a very exciting career choice. It's innovative, it's high tech, it's aspirational. So that's what we've got to change.
Yeah. But I guess that's easy to say, isn't it? We're gonna challenge the misconceptions and try and give people a new take on what automotive is. But how on earth do you do that? Because I've covered automotive for a long time now, probably longer than I imagined I ever would. But I could go up to someone and espouse the benefits of automotive and they might not pay any attention to me. So how do we hook people? How do we get people to listen? How do we get people to take it on board?
Well, I think, you know, I always think the best way to really encourage people and motivate people and make them understand is to talk to people who are actually in the business right now. If you like, those people who are working in the automotive industry, who basically ignored the preconceived ideas about it being boring or dirty and have forged their own path. So we're going to be using real voices who will be real people working in the automotive industry today, and they'll be sharing, you know, their authentic, their true stories. And I think that is the strongest, most impactful way to explain to people outside the industry, because these people are living it every single day and they chose to come into the industry and they chose to stay and they're enjoying it. So I think that's what we're going to do. And I think that is the most impactful way of really tackling this particular issue, which is about changing perceptions.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot one more time because I enjoy doing that, basically. But in what's your real voice story then? How did you get into automotive and what attracted you and kept you in it? Because you've obviously succeeded as you are now CEO of Peugeot.
Well, you know, I started when I was 18 in this industry, so I have been a long, long time. And I started basically having a holiday job, to be perfectly honest. I came into it a little bit by accident, but I came into it because it was an holiday job recommended by my uncle, who was working at a Jaguar, manufacturer, car manufacturer. And I was there for 3 months to begin with as a summertime job. And I saw the at that time, and this is going back 40 years, the breadth of opportunities that there were. But also, everybody buys a car, I would say, it's my view, maybe 99% buy a car with emotion. They buy a car because it says something about them, because they love the brand, they love their car, whatever it may be. And that's what I like. This is, you know, this is something that is a product that we're selling or servicing, which is so customer related. And I'm, you know, I think it's a, you know, a car is a sexy thing to buy. It's not a pure commodity. In most cases, there are some people who think it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, that passion I have never lost in those 40 years. And I love my job now as much as I did when I was, you know, 18.
Yeah.
Probably got a little bit more responsibility. But, you know, I think it's that. And I think it's the very fact that not only is it about the car and the servicing, but it's also about the relationships with people and understanding your customers. That's what I find so fascinating.
Yeah. Okay. But this has to be something that's continuous, isn't it? Because, you know, as with any campaign, you can't just set it up, say, and it's one hit. Oh, we've done that now. We can turn around and look at something else. This has to keep going and gain momentum and be a long-term strategy, doesn't it?
No, absolutely. And we've all seen examples in the past, not necessarily the automotive industry, of people, you know, sending a message and then after 3 months, everybody's forgotten about it. That's not what we want to do at the IMI. So we're going to be continuing to make sure that the campaign continues to evolve. And this is all about, this is not, you know, a short-term development. This is a long-term development that we'll be adding and more things. But, you know, I guess one of the things that we need to do, to be honest with you, James, is that we need to get everybody to help us.
Yeah.
And that means that we need to encourage support from, you know, our members and colleagues to share their story in There's More to Motor. So it's also about, we can, of course, think of all new initiatives and continuing, but we need also people to be able to participate who are in the business right now and to participate and really share their authentic true stories of why they love the automotive industry. So I think it's also not only about the IMA continuing with the new projects and all of the things we want to do, but it's also about the involvement of all of our members and all of our colleagues.
Yeah. And of course, we'll include a link. So anybody who wants to get involved with the Real Voices campaign and give their story of how they got involved in automotive and why they think it's a good career path, we'll include that in the in the copy below the podcast as well if you want to get in touch. But just finally then, in terms of, and I want to backtrack a little bit, in terms of what the key misconceptions are about the industry to your mind, and this is a two-part question, what do you think those misconceptions are and what is the best way to address them?
Well, you know, quite simply, I think people think that it is, as I say, a dirty, boring job. And what we need to do, as I say, is change that conception. And the first thing we need to do is show that it's very technological, it's very forward-thinking, and there's a great future. And, you know, there are so many things happening with a wide, wide range of skills required now. And I think that's what we need to change the perception. And as I say, the best way, in my view, to change that perception is to talk about real people in the business right now, having fantastic jobs, lots of success, and really enjoying themselves and really feeling extreme satisfaction. And I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
I would ask everybody out there to accelerate and help us to plug the skills gap. And we need real voices, so help us drive the change today.
Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again on the next podcast.